Good evening. I'm not sure how many of you are aware of this, but this next week for me is going to be a big week. I get to turn the big 3-0 this next week. And I've been thinking a lot about that over the past couple months. And I don't bring that up because I want to get a lot of fanfare and a lot of birthday cards, because I'm not big on birthday cards. I'm not big on birthdays, especially now that I'm getting older. But 30 is kind of a big one for me. I kind of look at, maybe it's a misconception that I have, but I kind of look at 30 as being the breaking point where people kind of look at you and go, oh, you're 30. You should have your stuff together by now. And you can still slide by a little bit, I think, at 29, and I'm going to ride that out as much as I can for the next week. But I've kind of been thinking about, over the past couple months, things have kind of been in my mind. I've been thinking to myself, man, what happened to my teens? What happened to my 20s? They just all seem to be kind of speeding up and flying by. And it's completely true that everything that we do, everything we fill our lives up with, just continues to speed up the clock even more and more and more. And then we look around one day and we're old. Not that I'm old. I'm not going to touch it. But you get certain milestones in your life, you start thinking about, man, what did I accomplish? What did I do? You know, how did I spend my time? You start thinking back, and as I mentioned up here before, I'm a pretty retrospective kind of guy. I'm not really one to look towards the future too much, and I hate planning, as some in the audience will definitely know. But it's really disgusting when you're watching the NCAA basketball tournament, like Shane and I were the other day, and you're thinking, man, these guys are 8 and 12 years younger than I am. Like, man, I'm getting old. It's just something I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around. But some of the other questions that I've been thinking about are, you know, what am I going to do in my 30s? You know, not only where did my teens and my 20s go, but what am I going to do up into my 30s and my 40s and my 50s? What are the things that I did wrong? What are the things that I should have done right the first time around? And what am I going to do into the future? And Shane is my witness to this. Wednesday night, I was sitting around thinking, man, I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to talk about this next week. Usually something hits me when I see my name on the schedule. And I think about something I really want to talk about, but I couldn't really think of anything until Wednesday night when we ran across Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And it reads there, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Well, do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And when I read through those two verses, I just kind of realized that those two verses kind of summed up a lot of my 20s, and hopefully what's going to be a lot of my 30s and on by. "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Well, do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." This short set of scripture really seemed to fit into what I was thinking about, what I've been thinking about. And after I came across this passage, I decided to just kind of make this my subject matter over the next few minutes for this evening. And this evening, I kind of like to look at our freedom, the idea of our freedom, and what we do with it. So first off, I guess we kind of have to define freedom. And I think when you ask someone what the word freedom means to them, especially within the country in which you live in, the United States of America, you're going to get an answer that probably lies around somewhere along the fact of, well, it means I get to do whatever I want to do. It means I get to do what I want, when I want, how I want, and with who I want, and do whatever I want to do. Within this country, we have freedom, and that's the one thing that makes America so much better than many other countries. But with that freedom comes responsibility. We have the ability to do what we want, given the fact that we are subject to the laws established by the governments in place, but we can essentially do anything we want to if we're willing to accept the rewards and the consequences of that. But I want to look at the concept of freedom or liberty, as some of your versions may have it, in the verses 1 and 13 of Galatians chapter 5. In the respect that Paul is writing to the Galatian brethren there, and draw some sort of a correlation between the freedom Paul is talking about and the freedom we experience both inside and outside Christianity, outside and inside our faith. Paul, in the 5th chapter of Galatians there, writes to the brethren of Galatia regarding the yoke of slavery, remarking on the old law, while noting earlier in that same verse that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Speaking of the new covenant, the plan of salvation brought about through Christ, which was abolished and put away the old law by Christ. As we follow Paul's thoughts down through that fifth chapter, he continually hits on the point that Christ is the new way. The Christ is separate from above and beyond the old law, having replaced the old law, and that those still holding on to the old law have been severed from Christ and have fallen from grace, as said there in the fourth verse. The Jews had a very difficult time understanding the freedom that Christ had given them and what it meant and signified. Christ ushered in and established the new covenant, as we read throughout various places in the New Testament. The Jews had a hard time moving past that old Mosaical law, those things that were put on them of the physical nature. They couldn't get their heads around the concept of the new way, the spiritual way that Christ had ushered in. They didn't recognize the gift that Christ presented them. They didn't understand the significance of the freedom that was bestowed upon them through Christ. They kept holding on to the physical works laid out within the old law. They held on to what they wanted and not to what they needed to hold on to, and didn't utilize the freedom given to them through Christ from the old law. And just as the brethren in Galatia weren't grasping and utilizing the spiritual freedom that Christ gave to them, I know that at times we don't utilize the freedom that we have. We don't utilize the gift of freedom that we have to do the work of Christ the way we should. We don't get our mind around the fact that our freedom is a spiritual gift. It's a physical and spiritual gift from the Lord. And Christ is the only basis for our freedom and should be the only driving force behind what we do with our freedom. Just as we are free within this country, we are free within Christ. There are parameters and laws and things that we aren't supposed to do, but essentially it is the same. No one has to follow. No one has to follow the rules and regulations, the laws of this nature, and no one has to follow the rules and laws and regulations that Christ has set forth. But with that, you have to be able to accept the rewards and the consequences, whether in conjunction with the laws of the land or the laws of Christ. But Christ, simply put, is the reason in which we are free, and He is and should be the basis by which we are motivated to use our freedom. But the things that we have in our lives, good and bad, righteous and sinful, are a result of how we have used our freedom. There's a direct correlation there to the things that we have within our life and how we've used that freedom that we have. So what do we do with our freedom? I don't necessarily know what we do with our freedom, but I can give you an example of what I've done with my freedom up until this point in time. It's not until your later years, your teenage years and your early 20s, I think, that most people really start to get a sense of freedom. They start feeling a sense of, okay, I'm getting a little out on my own here, got a little more responsibility, I've got a key to the house. Hopefully at some point in time you've got a key to a car. With those things become responsibilities. With those things become choices. With those things you have to make determinations on what you're going to do with those things and how you're going to use them. You start getting some freedom from your parents, which everybody loves. You start getting some freedom from the teachers and things that have been burdening your life over the past 12 or 13 years. You start transitioning away from someone being subject to others to being one that maybe others are subject to. And I think that if any point in time in our lives when we may struggle with using our freedom, making the choices that we do, having the ability to make the choices that we make, that we are afforded the opportunity to make, that it's in those late teen, early 20 years when we're first starting to get that sense of freedom, first starting to get that sense of, wow, I get to do this all by myself, that's where we need to be most careful. Because once we get out of high school, we start going to college, we start working, we start earning, we start going and doing at our own pace. We start doing the things that we want to do. We find ourselves having the freedom to do what we want with our time, freedom to go where we want, when we want to, freedom to go, see, and do in any way that we desire to. And in the world in which we live today, this idea is repeatedly put in front of our faces as a reminder that we are the only ones that really matter. And if there's a message that the society is sending out at this point in time, it's that it's you. It's all about you. It's all about me. It's not we. It's not they. It's all about me. You start hearing the ideologies about, well, you're the only one that can tell yourself really what you want to do. You're the only one that can make the decisions. And in large part, the things promoted by our society and by our own physical desires, because, let's face it, what do we want to do most of all over anything else? We want to take care of ourselves. We want to make sure we have what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. But the things that are promoted by our society and our own physical desires are not the things that are good for us. We're constantly being told that we should use our freedom the way we want to, because it's our life and nobody else's. And everybody knows that it should be all about me. It's all about me. And in the process of that, hearing these things and being subject to these things and hearing them over and over and over again, we find ourselves becoming increasingly selfish with the way we view things. Taking our own needs and making them the top priority because, hey, I've earned it and it's all about me. And we often fall into the trap of rationalization, finding ourselves holding closer to the earthly desires and using our freedom to perpetuate sin in our lives. And then one day we look up and we find out that we've used our freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, as in Galatians 5th chapter, verse 13. Exactly what Paul tells us not to do. All of the sinful things that we have within our lives, all the things that are against Christ's will, are set against the Spirit. As Paul writes there in that fifth chapter. These things are not the things that we ought to be using our freedom or our liberty for during our time here. Much the same way the Jews couldn't put aside that physical semblance of the old law and understanding the freedom that Christ provides, we too can fall into that same mindset of not putting that old way apart from us as we begin that spiritual walk, but putting those physical, earthly things away from us as we begin our spiritual walk. Paul writes in the 17th verse of Galatians 5, "For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another." We often choose simply to keep ourselves burdened with that yoke of slavery in a spiritual sense, keeping within our own lives the things that continually drag us down, the sin that continually drags us down. And again, I use the word we because it seems to be a good way to try to involve your audience in some way. But really what it comes down to is when you're preparing a lesson, something like this, you look at yourself and you go, it's really all more about me. It's kind of ironic, but really this is kind of more about me. Because I know I fall into this group. My teens and 20s were spent primarily doing everything that I wanted to do, not necessarily what I should be doing or what I was told I needed to be doing or what I knew I should be doing. But most of the things I was doing were the things that I wanted to do, simply because from a selfish standpoint. I started subscribing to the secular worldly things, the worldly ideologies and the thoughts and the mindset that it's all about what you want. It's all up to you to make your life good. It's up to you to decide what's going to be best for you. You're not subject to anybody else. It's all up to you to make those decisions. Not being concerned with anything else other than that. And of course this can be said about anyone at any point in time in our life. I'm not strictly saying that in your teens and your 20s that that's the time in which sin's going to end your life. Those are the time with which you need to be the most cautious, because obviously as we approach our 30s, our 40s, our 50s, up in our later years, it's not that we're not subject to sin. It's not that we're impervious to the things that affect us when we're in our early teens and 20s. But I do think that our freedom to make the choices that we do are the door, the gateway in which sin seems to enter into our lives. And sin has a way of creeping into our lives every moment, every day, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep. It's different for all of us in every certain stage that we go through, but we're all still subject to it. And we all have to be mindful of how we use the freedom that we have. And I do know that Paul writes that the freedom we enjoy can often be and often is the door for sin to open to allow those bad things to come into our lives. And if we leave our freedom to be used as the world and our human nature tell us to do, our freedom will do nothing but bring sin into our lives and further move us away from Christ. So obviously, if we have things we aren't supposed to do, then conversely, we should have things we are supposed to do. And as an answer to the question, I mean, what are we supposed to do with our freedom? At the tail end of verse 13, Paul makes it very clear. Through love, serve one another. And over the past few weeks, as I mentioned earlier, I've kind of started taking stock of things. I've started looking back in my earlier years and starting looking ahead into my 20s. And I feel in some way that the topic, I didn't really choose the topic, but the topic just kind of picked me because it really seemed to fit. It really seemed to be the last piece of the puzzle to answer the questions that I've been going over in my mind. And I was sitting there Wednesday night, I came across this set of verses and it seemed to just really hit and it seemed to really sum up everything for me. The first part of verse 13 described my teens and 20s, and the last part of verse 13 tells me how my 30s need to be, how my 40s need to be, and how my 50s, and on and on and on. However long the Lord allows me to dwell here, those are the things that I need to be doing, loving and serving others. Has anyone ever have a case of the well eyes? The well eyes. Does anybody have any idea of what that might be? It's a condition called the well eyes. I have. It's pretty simple. I imagine we've all had it at some point in time. Some of us maybe more than others, but the last time somebody come up and asked you to do something, what was the first thing that came to your mind? Well, I have this to do. I have that to do. Well, I'm not sure that I can do that. I'm not sure that I'm the right guy to do that job. Well, I'm not sure I'm comfortable doing that. Well, I. First word in that phrase isn't too bad. Second word in that phrase is what we need to be concerned about. And my life's been full of them up to this point. Somebody would ask me to do something, sometimes something that I knew I should probably be doing, something that I knew I should be doing, that I knew would be good for me to do. First thing that popped into my mind is, how is that serving else someone else through love? When someone else is asking you a question, asking you to do something for them, and the first thing you respond with in your own mind or out loud is, well, I. Simply put, it isn't. It's allowing the freedom we have that lets sin in the door and the selfishness that roots in ourselves as we get concerned with I, that keeps us from lending our hearts to compassion and concern and love for those around us, and lends us into becoming selfish and uncaring about those that do need our help and those that we're called to help. So when you see the opportunity to serve others, what do? Is your first thought about yourself? Is your second thought, well, somebody else might take care of it? I've had those thoughts. I imagine we've all had those thoughts at some point in time. And if you have, you've had a case of the well eyes. And simply, that isn't what Christ has called us here to do. Christ didn't do the things he did for us in the hope that we would simply choose to not do the things that he's asked us to do. And Christ is asking us to use our freedom for others. Getting over ourselves and getting on to others. I came up with that and it sounds pretty good. But it really holds true. Getting over ourselves and getting on to others. That's what we need to do. Using the blessing he's given us and the freedom we have to use it to the betterment of others, not only to ourselves. How many opportunities have we missed in the last week, the last month, the last year to make others as important to us as we make ourselves? That's something I think we all need to think about in the coming days and weeks and months. And as I've said, it's something that I've kind of thought about a lot over the last few weeks. What did I do wrong? And what do I need to change? And what do I need to do right? I hope that everything I've said tonight has made sense. I might have seemed choppy in a few spots, and I hope everything one can take something away from it. But I want us to be mindful of the fact that our freedom, not only the freedom that we enjoy within this country, but the freedom that we have within Christ to continually make choices that affect ourselves each and every day, is a huge blessing. And we have the choice to make it a good experience or a bad experience. I'd like to close with reading Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 31 through 46. Because not only in serving others, I think a lot of times people want to think to themselves, well, I'm serving Christ. Well, if you're not serving others, then you're not serving Christ. And I think this passage here in Matthew, the 25th chapter, kind of sums that up for us. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of Mine, even the least of them you did to Me. Then He will also say to those on His left, depart from Me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me. Then they themselves also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then He will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me. And these will go away in eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. I think that set of verses makes it very, very clear, resonating the thought that Paul has in Galatians, the 5th chapter. Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of Mine, even the least of them, you did it to Me. Our service isn't to be to Christ alone. Our service is to be to one another and those outside of Christ. Christ calls us to serve others and not ourselves. So if you find yourself in the same position that I found myself in over the past 10, 15 years, maybe take the tape, pop it in your CD player, and go back over it and think about the things that I've said, and we'll work through it together. So thank you for your time.